I understand, but I was talking, and I didn't pick up my equipment like I was supposed to. And for a preacher to be talking, you just can't really understand that, can you? Oh, goodness, goodness. All right, this evening, I'm doing something a little bit different in the fact that we're going to talk about Bartimaeus and the passage out of Mark 10, beginning in verse 46. And what it says there. So let's read that and see what it says. It says, then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man, saying, take courage, stand up, he is calling for you. And so throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and he came to Jesus, and answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Now this is a very minor story in the gospel. And I was caught by this. What has this got to do with anything? There's not a point that's being made that how many believed because of this. There's not any of the, there's no fanfare to it. It's just like, here it is, this is what happened, and that's all there is. And yet, as I began to ask myself the question, you know, what's different in this healing than any other healing that he's done? I don't find any. I didn't find Bartimaeus to be more noble. He cried out, you know, in spite of what the crowd was telling him to do, some things like that. And then there's a parallel passage on this in Matthew, the 20th chapter. So let's turn and look at it, because it doesn't say the same thing. So this is Matthew 20, beginning in verse 29. And it says there, as they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, and two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. And the crowd sternly told them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, Lord, son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus stopped and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. And then moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Now, we could go into, there's some sort of distortion here, because it's two men in one sense and another man, just a single man being talked about in Mark. And yet, the story is identical in what happens. That these two men are doing the same thing that the one man was doing in Mark. And is there one that was a lot more of a leader? I don't know. I don't know it. Actually, there's a great deal here. I don't know. But the story intrigues me that the blind men have not seen the miracles of Jesus because they're blind. This is almost like Nathaniel saying, after you've seen, I saw you under the fig tree, and now he says, you're God. You're the Son of God. What? You can make that decision off such little information. Here are blind men that have heard stories of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They haven't seen anything. They have only been beggars on the side of the road. How much do they actually hear? How much do they actually know? I don't know. But it seems strange to me what we're having. So, but they've heard of him. And they've evidently considered what they've heard, and now he's coming by, and they see it as an opportunity. I don't think that it's anything about who Jesus is. It is everything to do about, I want to see. And so, what? Faith against faith, they cry out, help me, have mercy on me. Give me my sight back. And they believe in him. And obviously, they believe in him enough. Okay, so as they do that, and he says, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you your sight. What would you have me do? I'm going to give you the sight that you're looking for. And so the second part is that once they have their sight, what do they do? Now, I just want you to think about that for yourself. You've been blind, and I really don't know enough. I hate being this way. Have they been blind for a very long time? Were they blind from birth? Is their blindness something that was caused by an injury or sickness? Is there something that's going on here? I have the tendency to feel that they've been blind for a while. And now then, if you were blind for a while and I were blind for a while, what would be the very first thing you do when you receive your sight? See, this is where the story intrigues me, is because what would I do? If I've never seen, there would be this awe. Would you look? Look at this. As a matter of fact, they really wouldn't even know what things are necessarily. They've heard about a tree, but I've never seen one. I've heard about people. Oh, what, that's what you look like. Don't know about anything that way, or if they are remembering what they used to know, then it is, wow, what a blessing to see again, to see the things and in color. Bartimaeus is told that because of your faith, you are receiving your sight. Now, see, that starts to take away the idea that they just cried out for benefit. That they cried out knowing that he can do what he says or what men say he can do. That this is truly the Son of God. And that if I ask him for sight, he not only can he, but will he. So I have to come to the conclusion that he does believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That, and then you see, or is he simply a prophet that God works through? Does he believe that? Does he simply believe that Jesus can heal me? I don't know how much his belief is. But as I look at him and as I look at what's been said, I wonder. So, would it be greater? Would the situation, if you were not blind from birth, would it be a greater gift to receive that gift after knowing what I lost? We watch some of the singing shows, and American Idol, I think it was, had a girl that lost her sight in a year. She had a disease, it was one of those strange diseases, but she can sing like a bird. And so she came without sight to sing. America's Got Talent's got a guy that's this old man. He's 65 years old and he's blind. He hasn't been blind, but in his later years. And this guy too can sing. And you come in and you say, would you consider your sight more valuable if you had lost it knowing what you lost? Becoming blind, and now I'm going to take it from the other side. If you were blind from birth, would sight mean that I can have a job now and that I don't have to beg anymore? Would it fix something that's in my life because I want to be able to see for a reason? I can get a job, okay, that I can go where I want to go and I don't need someone to guide me to go there, to be able to get there. That you could look upon those that you love and know and see them. The things that are benefits this way. You could see what you missed. What I never knew what that was, and now I can see it. And so I'm rewarded. And then there's that side of, if I've been blind, I don't see the evil that's in the world. See, now I've been made aware, and I thought I want my sight, but then I don't get to see just good things. I get to see things that I don't want to see as well. You know, they say that blind people, that if you lose one of your senses, that your other senses become more aware. And that that hearing becomes very acute if you can't see. Now, I don't believe all of that, but I do believe that because you need your other senses more without eyesight, then you listen carefully, that we see blind people that can hear by your walk and know that it's you, and those types of things. But now that you can see with your eyes, would you still listen? Do you see what I'm saying? Would you still be careful with what you're listening to? And when that has been the major sensory organ for you, what's going to happen? Okay. All right. And so then there's also been beggars. And now here these men, and now then, do you think that if I'm able to see that anything I choose is going to be a step up for where I've been? And so it's a blessing. Yeah. That all accomplishments made will offer a reward compared to the life that we had, where we are just begging and hoping that someone will have mercy on us and give us enough money to be able to eat and those types of things. You see, they have choices to make here. And I don't know, this could be, and it sounds like, that it just happened. That the Jesus of Nazareth that we've been hearing so much about, that can heal all men, is coming by. And that I can actually have my eyesight back, and I haven't given a single thought to what I'm going to do with it once I have it. That I just want to have my eyesight back. Please give me that. Okay, and yet, as we do that, and what's the choices I'm going to make once I receive it? These two men, both of them, decide to follow Jesus. Do you find that interesting? See, I do. I don't know who's had the biggest surgery in the room. I don't know in our group here who had the most difficult, we'll say, or whichever surgery it is. Did you decide to follow the doctor around that did that for you after you had surgery? No. We don't do that. He's performed a function. I've gained from that. And now I'm going to go live my life. And thank you, doctor, for doing what you've done. But the sense of following him, no. But not these men. Would you? Would you, after receiving your sight in a way that you know that has nothing to do with doctoring, but instead with the power of God, would you follow? Oh, this is a completely different question. And more than that, would you follow immediately without giving a great deal of thought about what that's going to cost you? But I want you to understand, here's where a man that's been a beggar, what could you do to me? Yeah, I can never be poorer than I was. And I'm following the Son of God. I'm learning something that needs to be known. Do you see what he's going to be doing? That they would. And so that understanding that by the power that just healed his blindness and can see physically, I want to follow the man that has that kind of power. I want to follow the man that can do those kinds of things. And I want to understand what he is all about, because he did it for free. He didn't ask me for what I needed or what I needed to pay. He did it for free. And that alone is enough to cause me to understand, all right, or to want to understand more. Understanding the manner of Jesus, you see, offers an example of compassion worthy of following. If that's all he could see, he saw it before he got eyesight. That this man is different from anyone else because of what he is willing to give. sideline point. I've always wondered. I know that Jesus has the power to heal all things. Does he get tired? He's in the body of a man. And yet we see times when it says the multitudes brought all of their sick and he just stood there and kept doing it and doing and healing and healing and healing. Did that take power from him? Was it limitless power that he never felt that? But he would certainly feel it in the body of being in the place. What? And yet here he is willing to do these things and he does. Okay, and so they choose to follow Jesus after they receive sight, understanding why they call Jesus Lord when asking for mercy that Jesus deserves more than simple gratitude. All right, I have this point. Why did they call him Lord in the first place? They knew he was something beyond a typical man. Even by rumor, they understood that. And so they gave him credit for who he is based on, I have no idea how much knowledge they had, but they recognized him as Lord and that they followed him to learn. And then I think, because I want to be like that. That's my good heart, believing that people think like that. Now, as you can see, way too many questions in this story to give any conclusive answers about anything, except that, do you understand that when we hear about Jesus, that the details of that matter? That in this case, we're saying that they understood who he is from a single word in the passage by calling him Lord. Have mercy on us. That conveys a lot of information about who they are, what they know, what they believe, what they will do. And so I want to ask the question to you. You all have eyesight, but do you come to Jesus blind? You see my point? What do you know about the kingdom of heaven? And we're blind. Do we come seeing the kingdom of God, or do we see, or do we need to see? You see, that's the point, because I don't see the kingdom of God. I don't understand. And that I remain blind, or I can remain blind, though I can see. Do we come knowing that love is more important than miracles? That the sense in which this goes on, that maybe the draw, it hasn't anything to do with the gift itself of sight, though it is a huge one. And instead, it is the fact that he is willing to take care of me. Someone he doesn't know, the idea that someone that is just in a poor position and that they would be lifted up, that speaks volumes. Is that what causes them to follow? Did we come knowing that our purpose in life has little to do with what is important? Now, this one you may have to think about. I'll use Larry, because Larry sits at the feet of a guy that, Lawrence, who is from my wife, and my daddy can build anything. He's an inventor. He can this, he can that, and he's the son of the man who can do that, and Larry can do a whole lot of stuff. So can many of you in this room, I know that. And when it comes to building and all sorts of things, they'll find ways to put things together, and not necessarily the way you thought it should be put together, but it will be put together and it will work when it's done. As a matter of fact, Lawrence has made the idea, he said that he was going this morning. He said, I probably need to build a little lift so you can get me off the floor when you need to. And I'm going to put this pinnacle, some boards together like this, and I'm going to hook them together, brace them. I'm going to put a lever over that to give you about 4 feet, and then you can just lift that and pick me up off the floor, and I won't be near so heavy. I said, if you'd quit falling next to the wall, that'd be okay. But right now, you fall next to something, and I'm not sure where we're going to put the apparatus to be able to get you up. Okay, on the other hand, do you understand the event of mind never goes away? The fact that something needs to be done and how we're going to do that, and then I want to say this about that. What has any of that got to do, or any ability that we have to build things or work within the technological field that I'm in, or any other thing that men is about, have to do with the kingdom of God? And what do you know about the kingdom of God when you come to God? And I'm going to tell you, nothing. That we have to learn every aspect of that because we've been blind. Did we come looking for a reward? That I want to go to heaven? That's what I want? I want that good thing? It would be as if I get to see. I want to see heaven because I want to know what that looks like. And if that's the case, I don't blame you. But did you see that many times we come looking for heaven, looking for what that's going to be like, and what we find is life. That it is not about heaven itself, it is about today and what has changed today for me, and that what I can do and that my life is better because of what I've chosen and the who I've chosen. And so we change ourselves. And many times do we come expecting life to be easy only to find it challenging and worthy. You see, when our purpose is correct, when it is according to what God would have us be, our lives are challenging, but it's worthy. What I say by that is that this life is worthy. And so when we see it, and we see it that way, you just have to think. I was given opportunity. It's a privilege to come here. Because it changes that mundane life that frustrates me, that stresses me out, that overwhelms me, that does every kind of thing, tempts me to sin. All the things that I don't want go away when I go over here and live here. And so I need to be living here in God's house. So I have a question. What did it cost Bartimaeus to see? And in this case, it tells us it cost him nothing but faith. What will it cost him in the things that don't have cost? And I want to suggest to you, it's going to be a very high price. Is it a good deal? I think Bartimaeus would say it's the best deal I ever got. I not only received my sight, I received a second sight as to what things should be. And so as we think about us and the life that we lead and the things that are going on, we get caught up in life. And the emergencies that are before us, as I've called management many times, we're firemen. We run from one fire to the next. And yet, that's not what life was meant to be. And that we come to Jesus, what we're really coming to many times is I want a lifestyle change. I don't want to be caught up in this that has hold of me and is, in a very real sense, ruining me. Though it has moments that I can enjoy, I struggle. But I don't think we come with the idea initially that I want a lifestyle change. Probably not. That we came looking for a better way and a better life with eternity living with God as the final reward. I have this mission statement kind of idea when I come to Jesus. We never expected to be changed to the level that I'm going to be changed. And then I want to ask you the question, are you willing to make that change? Did you come out of the waters ready to follow? And that wasn't follow just anywhere. It was follow everywhere. Wow. What is my life going to be? And you see, I see that it's not going to be what I would have planned, because it's going to be better than what I planned. Our goals change, our manner is to change, our interactions with others will change, and the most important part of all is that your heart will change. I've never understood those that want to come to Jesus and do not want to change. They push back against change. It's the reason we came. We wanted a new purpose and a new life and for a different reward. And it's all about the things that we knew nothing of, and now that we do, we've changed. And so, if you were a blind man on the side of the road, would you call out to Jesus and ask Him, "Give me sight. Help me to see." And then when you're done with that and received it, would you follow Him to be sure that you do see? Not about the physical world, but the spiritual world. I hope so. I hope that's what we're trying to do. These are the questions that we have to answer. These are the questions that we must follow and see what God intended for us. If you're not a Christian, be one. Understanding that there's no one going to bless you the way God can bless you. No one can give you a life that is better than the life He can give you. There's nothing that you can do that will ever touch what you will have if you become what God wants you to be. And for us that have made that decision long ago, may we look at ourselves and find ourselves actually seeing what God intended, and that we would take the places where we need work and correct them. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?